You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today will be a brief show, probably 30 to 40 minutes tops. I have a rather short window. Our sound engineer has taken a day off, so I've basically been told I gotta wrap it up by 5, and I plan to do that. I want to also really finish, because there has been some additional information to the story I've been covering, namely the VA scandals. Additional information has come to light, but let me briefly make a point. Towards the end of the show yesterday, I gave my recommendation. We really need to privatize the VA hospital system. But before that, what we need to do is, if you're a veteran and you're wounded in action, your country owes you care. And that has been really the contract, an implied contract, for veterans for over 60 years, at least since World War II. That should you be wounded, no matter how serious, and that results in a disability, the country will make sure you get well. Now, initially, that's done when you're still in the service. But depending on the extent and seriousness of the injury, and it's not just physical injuries, it can also be psychological, because many of our veterans have that problem. The suicide rate, and this is a shocking number, every day approximately 22 veterans are committing suicide. While many were in combat, many more were not. That is a horrendous number. That's a scandal. There's something basically wrong when our veterans, as a result of serving, whether it's in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, Air Force, commit suicide at that rate. It's disproportionate to the general population. And some of it is related to the actual treatment. It's the drugs used to treat it. And many of our veterans seek help at the Veterans Administration. And some of them are getting timely help. Many are simply not. And because of the lack of care, commit suicide. Now, not all of them seek help, but they do commit suicide. And that should get your attention. So I'm a strong believer that the United States government, the American people, all owe those men and women that serve in the armed forces, especially those that serve in combat areas where people are trying to kill you and wound you. And invariably what happens, people get killed and they get wounded. Initially, they're well taken care of at military hospitals, but many of their injuries, whether physical or mental, require treatment, prolonged treatment. It's a chronic condition. My first solution is, it's like any employee benefit, and that's what this is. It is an employee benefit. A benefit of serving in the military should be that you have a benefit. You have an insurance benefit. Now, many people, and I'm a good example of it, I had a good career. I had over five years in the Air Force. And then I sought a career in the public, private sector, and eventually opened my own business. I have never gone to the Veterans Administration. I've never taken advantage of it. That's my choice. And that's the choice of millions of veterans. It certainly was my father's choice. And he was a career professional soldier. And he did need medical help after he retired. And he got it at military basis. And that's what many veterans do that make a career of the military. And they recognize that they're not going to have first priority. It's going to be those on active duty, and then the dependents of those on active duty, and then people that have retired, both veterans themselves and their spouses. But many veterans, and most of the veterans, simply do not make it a career. Those that are successful in the private sector really never take advantage of their VA benefits. But, and this is a big but, Veterans Administration hospital and medical services are means tested. What I said on the last show, I went to the application, and that's why they were asking questions about my income. Now, some would take the view, and the president has, that veterans benefits should not be means tested. I think that's a mistake. I think they should be means tested. Because I view VA hospital and medical services very much like Medicaid. And Medicaid is a program for those that are poor, that are below the poverty line. And that's the only way you can get Medicaid. Now they've changed, they've made it a little bit more generous, but there's a problem there. And I alluded to it, many doctors simply won't take Medicaid patients, and many specialists won't. And the reason is quite simple. The federal government does not compensate the doctors for the cost of the care. So doctors are businesses, and they make a business decision that they do not take Medicaid patients. Now, there are some doctors that will, and there are some doctors that will devote a certain amount of their time to treating Medicaid patients, but that's their choice. It's simply voluntary. And most of our veterans that go to the Veterans Administration, they're on disability. In other words, they have a service-related injury that's continuing, point one. Point two is, if they had the income, they would go someplace else. They'd either have it through their own private insurance, or they could pay for it themselves. So many of the people that are availing themselves of their VA benefits, which they've earned and are entitled to, are poor. I didn't say they don't have any income, but they don't have very much. And really, as a last resort, they go to the Veterans Administration. I hope I never have to go to the Veterans Administration, because I've heard the horror stories. I've also heard some very good stories. But you see, what's going on at the Veterans Administration? It's rationing. It's rationing, folks. You're rationing care. You have limited resources, so you ration care. And what's a symptom of rationing care? Long waiting lines. Very long waiting lines. Because they have limited resources. Even though President Obama more than once has said, well, we've dramatically increased the budgets of the VA, and they have. They have it. Dramatic increases in the budget. But you see, the answer is not throwing money at it. Actually, that's part of the problem. The answer is the management system in place and the incentives in place and the fact that it's virtually impossible to fire people that simply are not performing. So you get very much a bureaucracy that is not held accountable, and they will play bureaucratic games, including keeping two sets of books. That's not the way it works in the private sector. You are held accountable, and if you can't perform or do your job, you're fired. And that happens every day. There are tens of thousands of people every day are being fired in the private sector for various reasons. Sometimes it's just a layoff, or there's a downturn in business, there's no fault attached to them. But many times, it's they're not doing their job. They're not performing their job. They're not performing up to expectations. And given the fact that we have such a high unemployment rate, there are qualified people out there that are just as hardworking that can get the job done. And what we have to do with the Veterans Administration is really replace those people that can't get the job done. And starting with the head of the secretary, the general, the former four-star general. But that's not the solution. And why do I quickly point that out? What am I recommending? I'm recommending that the federal government give our veterans vouchers. And the amount of the voucher would depend, for example, were you wounded? Do you have disability related to your service? So it would be very much a sliding scale. Now, if you're perfectly healthy, never been in combat, really don't have a service-related injury, you might get some minimum benefit, if any, but a minimum benefit. And you could take that money or voucher and put it either in a health savings account or buy a catastrophic health insurance in which you can add your own money and get the type of health insurance that you think is best for your situation. Only you know what your health insurance needs are. both for yourself and your family, what your financial situation is in terms of income, as well as what your financial situation is in terms of your wealth. And based on that, you can take what little or how much the government gives you as a voucher and apply it to that. Now, why do I recommend that? That gives you choice. It gives you a wide range of choice, not only in terms of a health insurance plan, but most people don't buy health insurance just for the sake of buying health insurance. They want it to provide them access and an ability to pay for good health care in the event that they, for example, are injured or develop a disease, or, for example, have a heart attack or a stroke. They don't want a heart attack or stroke. They don't want cancer. They don't want to be injured. But they know this could happen, and they're willing to purchase insurance to cover that unlikely event. And what is insurance? It's a pooling of risk. Most people really, especially in the health insurance area, seldom have those big claims. It's only a small percentage that really are very glad that they have health insurance should they suddenly develop, let's say, have a stroke or cancer or diabetes. They want the peace of mind. They want the security to know that they will have access to good health care should the need arise. And they will be able to pay it because their insurance company is there to make the payments. That's what the insurance companies are about. It's a pooling of risk, and they're going to price it accordingly. What the veterans should have is a choice, the freedom to choose which health insurance plan makes best sense to them. And what goes into that decision is what doctors they will be able to go to, what network the doctor's in, and what hospitals they can go to. In other words, they're not tied or limited to a VA hospital. Now, I would take it two steps further. If they want to go to the VA hospital, that should be their choice. And many of them want to do that because they like the fact that in the VA hospital, the people that are waiting for them and many of the people that will service their needs understand the special needs of the veteran. And that's important. So I'm not trying to limit the choice of our veterans at all. I'm trying to widen it and make it more responsive to their needs and wants. At the same token, being fair to them as well as to the American taxpayers, because you need to understand, none of this is free. And it's the American taxpayers, not the government. It's the American taxpayers that are paying for it. And I think taxpayers are willing to provide some benefits, not unlimited benefits, to veterans that serve their country, but in particular those that have service-related disabilities, mainly due to injuries as a result of combat. Now, people get injured in the military every day that are not related to combat. Accidents happen, especially given the type of equipment that you're using and the fact that it involves weapons. I mean, I had a friend in college that lost his arm on an aircraft carrier, and he would be the first one to say it was my fault. I shouldn't have been where I was, and as a result, I got nicked by a blade on a helicopter and was thrown. Fortunately, he wasn't thrown in the ocean, but was thrown over the flight deck. And as a result, he lost his arm. So injuries happen. Accidents happen everywhere, both in industry as well as on this campus. It could happen to you. It happened to me any day. So the American people are generous, especially to our veterans that have served, and especially to those who have served in combat. And more veterans have. We have veterans that are on their fourth, fifth, sixth tour. And many of those veterans, I would say almost most of them, are not regular Army, Navy, Marines. They're reservists. See, at one time, for example, when I got out of the service, I could have joined a reserve unit. I'd have to seek one out and get a slot. I decided not to do that. I said, I spent 5 years in the military. My military service commitment was totally completed, more than completed. And I decided to pursue a career in business. And I have no regrets about that. And that's the vast majority of veterans. That's exactly what they do. But there are veterans that are injured when they're on active duty. And some of those injuries are serious and ongoing, and they deserve to have some benefit, not unlimited, to address their medical needs. And I think I can only speak for myself, but I think the majority of the American people support that. But let's take it a step further. Let's really give them choice. Give them a voucher, and the dollar amount will vary depending on the severity of the disability or injury. And then the veteran can apply that voucher either to buy health insurance or put it in a health insurance plan. And he can also add additional money to get the health insurance that he wants. I think that's entirely appropriate, and that should be the focus. You're not seeing or you're not hearing much on this. And there's a reason for it. Both the Democratic Party and a large segment of the Republican Party, they're sensitive to the needs of the veterans. And this scandal really does have them scared. Both parties, I think. The Democrat parties even more because the president is a Democrat. But we're not hearing much in terms of fundamental change. There are people suggesting it. What I'm suggesting is not a new idea. And there are many people on the same page as I. Because I really think you need to broaden the choice. And why do I? Because why? That gives the veteran more options. And really, I'm always for consumer sovereignty. In other words, I think the individual, not the government, the individual is the best judge of where money needs to be spent. He knows his needs. He knows his wants. He knows his situation, where he lives. He knows his family situation. And many families have family physicians, and they want to go to that family physician. Or if they have a specific medical condition, they have built up trust with a specialist. So enable the veteran to continue that relationship and not be forced, and that's what we're talking about, forced to go to his nearest VA hospital or clinic. Now, there needs to be a transition period. I'm not for closing down the VA hospital system and clinic system overnight. What I am for is transitioning those facilities and system to the private sector. Put it up for bid. There are many organizations that would bid for those hospitals and those clinics, and what they're really bidding to service those veterans. And let the private sector run it. It is really not the role of the federal government to run. Remember, the VA is the second largest department in terms of budget after the Defense Department. So there's a lot of money there, folks. But they have not proven, and this has been going on for decades, it's not new. There's always been problems, issues with the bureaucracy that is running the VA. And the problem is any bureaucracy has a different incentive system than in the private sector. Because in the private sector, the way you succeed is to provide for the needs and wants of your customers, no matter what product or service you're selling. Because people will shop based on the quality, the price, and really how responsive you are to what they need. That's why I would totally privatize it and then give the veterans an option. You could go there if that's what you want, or you can take your voucher, buy the health insurance plan you want, or put it in a health savings account, and then you could add your own money or not add your own money. Again, you're in the best position. The veteran is in the best position to know what his needs are. And that, I think, is fair to everybody. It's fair to the taxpayer, it is fair to the veteran, and it's really fair to the bureaucracy because they really shouldn't be running this. And that has been the complaint over and over again. I've heard very complimentary anecdotal evidence that once I get into the VA system and can get on an appointment and can get in front of a doctor, I usually get good care, sometimes excellent care. The problem is just getting in front of it. You see, and that's why yesterday I made the point. The VA is a preview of what single payer is all about. You see, with single payer, the single payer is the government. There is no competition. It's a monopoly. And you're very much stuck. If you can't get the service you need, you're out of luck. There's no place to go. You know, if I, you know, for example, I always use my grocery shop. I could go into a store today, and for whatever reason, it could be just one employee, I feel I've been taken advantage of. And I decided enough is enough. I'm not coming back to this store or chain. Most of them are national chains. And on occasion, I've been very close on one of the two of the places I go of doing exactly that. In other words, they have to earn my business. And if they don't show me the respect that I think I'm entitled to as a customer or the service I'm entitled to as a customer, I will walk. I will take my business elsewhere. And that's what needs to happen in the healthcare industry. Now, what's very unique about the healthcare industry, and it's part of the problem of the healthcare industry, you can't even find the price. You have to ask, well, how much does this procedure cost? And after some hemming and hawing, they might or might not be able to tell you. Now, that's not the way it is with most goods and services. When I go shopping, whether it's for clothes, food, auto repairs, I'm going to ask about the price if I don't see it. And sometimes it's negotiable. And you also have to worry about whether or not the price is rung up right. A little small example that drives me mad and it gets me upset. You've seen these self-checkout lines. Kroger has several of them. And that's one of that's the store I go to. And I usually buy diet soda. Two trips ago, the soda was on sale. It's periodically on sale. Most of the time it's on sale. And it's 75 cents for this, I think it's a 2-liter bottle. So if you buy four, it's 75 cents. Well, I ring it up, and it's showing the regular price of 80, I want to say 85. No, I think it was 87 cents or maybe 89 cents. It wasn't showing 75 cents. So I wave to the lady that is in charge of it and say, listen, this is not the sales price. The sales price is 75 cents each. And she knew it, and she made the correction. Now, if she had given me a hard time, I was going to talk to the manager the next time in. And that rubs me the wrong way because the prices that this automatic checkout is using should be current, and it should be corrected. And if I wasn't paying attention, and it's happened before, that's why I was looking. I got home once, and then I looked at it and said, hey, I was robbed. Now, I didn't have time to you know, I was already left the store. It's a drive. Now, I'm using this as an example. Today in America, people have a lot of choice who they do business with and what goods and service they buy, and that's the American way. That's what makes America, I won't say unique in the world, because there are other parts of the world that have this, but it's competition. It's the mass production of goods and services, which get the price down of those goods and services. And there's also competition selling those goods and services. And who does that benefit? That benefits all Americans. And we should extend that competition to the health insurance industry. The last thing we should want is a government monopoly over health care. And that is what the Democratic Party has been pushing, really, for 80 years. They're the party that's advocating socialized medicine, where everyone has the same plan. Everyone is equal. And I would say equally screwed, because you don't have the competition then. That's what they want. They think this is the greatest thing since apple pie. Well, it's not the greatest thing since apple pie, and you can see it in what's happening today in the VA hospitals, where people are put on waiting lists and wait and wait and wait, or never called, and some of them die. The death count supposedly is over 100. Initially it was 40, but now what's happening is more and more people in more and more different hospitals. It's coming to everyone's attention that because of the long delays, and you have long delays where you have rationing. See, in the private sector, I call up my doctor. Let's take a real example. I lease a car. I had a call a week ago, just a reminder to bring the car in for service. Now, I knew I needed to do that because I had prepaid for something. So I called up and said, I would like an appointment at 9 o'clock at a certain time this month. They checked the schedule, said, fine, your service technician will be gave me a name. That's the type of service I wanted. They didn't say, well, Mr. Pronk, we can fit you in about 2 months. That's, and the VA, well, you're on a waiting list. We'll get back to you, and they never get back to you. You want a responsive, whoever you're doing business, you want them to respect you. They, and within limits, be responsive to you. Now, if I had said, I want the car taken care of tomorrow, they might have said, Mr. Pronk, we'd love to fit you in, but we're booked solid. Can you make it the following day or maybe 2 days? In other words, that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be, well, we'll put you on a list, we'll get back to you, and never hear a thing. And that's what's happening. You have veterans that are don't have any medical problems but are entitled to veterans benefits and want to be assigned a primary physician, and they never get callbacks. And the waiting list gets longer and longer and longer, yet we have a president that goes on television, this is several years ago, bragging that we're going to have more money and we're going to eliminate these waiting lists. It didn't happen. In other words, it was a failure to execute. They got money from the taxpayers, more money than many departments. Most of the departments got increases, but the Veterans Department got a lot. The problem was business as usual. It is a, like I said yesterday, it's a management's problem, and it's an incentive problem. People respond to incentives. And if the incentive is, if you have short waiting lists and we're monitoring it, they played a game. They made sure that whatever was being monitored, it would always show, oh, we only have a backlog of 2 weeks. What they're doing is keeping everyone off that list. They're gaming the system, and that's what it's called, gaming it. They truly are. In the private sector, I'm not saying some of this doesn't go on. It definitely does. But when managers are can be fired, you get a totally different response. If you're caught doing this, you're out on the street. There's no year or two, if ever, process of you getting fired. And it extends from a clerk all the way to the secretary. You see, I think, yes, the secretary should be fired. He's been on the job 5 years. He's known of these problems. And what the American people are demanding is results. And they're demanding it not only of him, but of the President of the United States. He tends to act like, oh, this is a surprise. First of all, that's an act. He was well aware of this for over 7 years. He knew about this when he was on the Senate committee that was investigating this. He knew the problems, and he should have demanded results, and the results were not forthcoming. You see, it's not enough to be outraged or to be mad or to be angry or I really care about your situation. That simply does not cut it, Mr. President. You're the President of the United States. You're the Chief Executive Officer of the United States. It is your responsibility. It happened on your watch, and you're not solving the problem. You're really you're very good at shifting blame to other people. You're very good at it, whether it's Bush or Ronald Reagan or somebody else. Not my responsibility. Well, the American people are not going to fall for that. You've been in office over 5 years. You've been aware of this problem longer than 5 years. And we don't need another investigation. You've had IG reports over IG reports. That's Inspector General reports telling you of the problems with the VA. And this problem is festered and festered and festered. Changes simply weren't made. And they need to be made. These games have to stop. People have to be fired. Many people have to be fired. But I don't think that's the ultimate answer. The ultimate answer is competition. Competition. And it's really privatizing the Veterans Administration. Now, the president is not going to do that. Not even, it's not even on his plate or thought process. Because this is the stellar example of what you can have with single payer. And that is exactly what the president has been advocating for over 10 years. He's for a single payer universal healthcare system, like the Veterans Administration. That's just one example. In other words, he's for single payer, where the single payer is the government, and that is really your only choice. And if you can't get the service, you're out of luck. And the way you ration care is delay the care. Delay the care. That's what they do in Canada, and that is what they do in Great Britain, because they always like to point to Canada, and they always like to point to Great Britain. You see, the dirty little secret in Canada, for the small stuff, the routine stuff, you got the care. And see, many people, and here's the trap people fall into, they're young. And for the first 10, 20, 30, even 40 years of their life, they either have no need of medical care at all or very little. And it's usually taken care of in a timely manner. Then what happens? They grow older. They're in their mid to late 40s, 50s, or in 60s. And then suddenly they have some major medical event. They have a heart attack. They have a stroke. They develop diabetes. They might develop cancer. And then suddenly that's big bucks. And then suddenly you wait and you wait and you wait. And if you're unlucky, you might die while you're waiting. And that's why many Canadians come to the United States. They know it's not very smart to wait to see a specialist. And that's how care is rationed. And that is one of the problems of single payer. It's the responsiveness of the system. Unlike the United States, if you go to your doctor, let's say your annual physical, and as a result, they say, listen, I have bad news. You have some cancer, and we need to operate today or tomorrow because this needs to be taken care of now. That's what happens in the United States. It's not come back in 6 months, and we might have an appointment for you to see a specialist. You see, that's how you ration care. I'm looking at the time, so I want to emphasize it would be the taxpayer that provides the money for those veterans that are disabled. It's the taxpayer that will provide the money for the veteran to buy the insurance, but not to limit their care, really broaden their choice. That's the answer, as well as privatizing the Veterans Administration. That is what I'm recommending, and that is what others have recommended. And the sooner that we face up to this and propose it and get it done, I haven't heard many people, you won't hear a Democrat do it, and there are very few Republicans that will do it. But that's what leadership is about. Confront the problem. Don't let it fester. Because we've had decades of horror stories about the Veterans Administration, and it has significantly gone downhill in the last 15 to 20 years. And part of the problem is you have more veterans as a result of the United States being at war. So you have more people demanding service, and you simply don't have the resources nor the leadership or management to get the services that they really are owed and should get in a timely manner, in a very professional and quality manner. So that is my conclusion. This is sort of like the third part of this show. I had to chop it up, but I wanted to be very, very clear. I'm not forcing the veterans to pay for it, because that's what Obama did. They floated a proposal to try to kick off, if a veteran was wounded and went to the VA and got treated, then his insurance company would have to pay for it. They floated that balloon proposal, and veterans organizations across the United States shot that down. And I vaguely remember this and said that was a bad idea. But that came out of the Obama administration. This was in early March of 2009. Those are the games we're playing. You see, the danger to Obama is people will make the connection between Obama wanting single payer and the fact that the VA is a perfect example of what you get with a single payer. And once they make that connection, they will demand the repeal of Obamacare and never go for single payer. That's why they're running scared. All the Democrats are running scared. Because ultimately what they want for all Americans is the VA system. A monopoly, a government monopoly. And if you allow that, they got you. Because they're limiting your freedom, your liberty to choose what you want, not what the government says you have to settle for. You've been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, And tomorrow, I promise, I'm going to have a different story to provide you my commentary and opinions on. And I forgot to mention this. To listen to my show, go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.